Please welcome the 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden, and the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, accompanied by Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh, and Iron Workers Local 5 apprentice, Carnita Jordan.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you. You can please have a seat. I want to welcome everyone to this historic event here at the Iron Workers Hall. I want to thank businessman manager Aaron Best. I want to thank Ray Cleland and everyone here at Local 5. I almost said Local 7. Local 7's in Boston, but sorry. But I want to thank you all, and thank you for hosting us today. As a proud member of Labor's Local 223 in Boston, it's always great to be back into a union hall. Today joining us is Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Secretary Granholm, thank you for being with us today. Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks, thank you for being with us today. We have a couple members of Congress and also local elected officials. I want to thank you for being with us today. And of course, the President of the United States of America, President Biden, and Vice President Harris, thank you for being with us today. Today, they are proving once again that this is the most pro-labor, pro-worker administration in our nation's history. And in a few minutes, the President of the United States is going to sign an executive order. That order will make sure that big, federally funded construction projects are governed by project labor agreements. And I know from experience, PLAs guarantee great projects and good jobs. When I led the building trades in Boston, I had the honor of negotiating project labor agreements for 35,000 workers. And when I was mayor of Boston, I saw those project labor agreements bring opportunity, equity, and resiliency to our city. PLAs are powerful tools. They protect taxpayers' investments, bringing projects in on time and on budget. They guarantee high-quality results built by the most highly skilled workers in the country, union workers. And as we have proved in cities across America, we can use PLAs to expand access to good middle-class careers for women and workers of color. That means a more inclusive economy, and it's a top priority for me as Labor Secretary and for this entire administration. The bottom line, quite honestly, is between this executive order and the bipartisan infrastructure law, the President has provided us all with the opportunity to create millions of good-paying jobs, union jobs, and construction projects built with federal dollars. And this is a historic win for working people all across this country. Now, I have the honor, the incredible honor, of turning this podium over to a champion of working people all across this country. She is fighting every single day for the rights of workers to be able to join a union, to be paid what they deserve, and get the care and the health care and the family care that their families need. Sisters and brothers, please join me in welcoming the Vice President of the United States of America, Kamala Harris.
Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you all. Thank you, Secretary Walsh. Thank you. It is always good. Oh. Have a seat. Thank you. It's always good to be in the House of Labor. I want to thank you all for the work you do every day that inspires us. And Secretary Walsh, thank you. You are a great partner in this effort and a great leader in our administration. So good afternoon, everyone. Before we get started, I just want to say a word about the jobs report that came out today. I do believe, I think we all know, that it really shows that Americans are getting back to work. And what we are seeing is that it is happening at a record-setting pace. As a result of the diligence and the determination of the American people and the policies of our administration, our nation's economic recovery continues to be, let there be no doubt, the strongest in the world. And again, I want to thank Marty Walsh for his introduction and the work you do every day. So it is good to be back also in Prince George's County. Senator Cardin, Senator Van Hollen, it's good to be back with you as always, my former colleagues, and of course, to be here at Iron Workers Local 5 with all of you. And I know we're all waiting to hear in a moment from one of the greatest friends of union labor workers, President Joe Biden. So I just have a few comments to make. All of the workers gathered here know that our administration will always stand in solidarity with you and with organized labor. It comes from our heart, it comes from our soul. We are unequivocal and clear about the importance of that relationship, not only to us and our administration, but to our country and the working men and women of America. Because we know union workers built our nation. You know, I think about a place like San Francisco. Union workers built the Golden Gate Bridge. In Chicago, union workers built the Willis Tower. In St. Louis, union workers built the Gateway Arch. And in New York City, on hallowed ground, in the years after 9/11, workers from dozens of different unions built One World Trade Center. And so the point there being, when our nation needs something to be built right, and those things that, by the way, are recognized throughout the world as the epitome of carpentry, of building, of what we do in terms of the skills that those workers apply, we receive worldwide recognition. So when the United States needs something to be built right, we turn to union workers. And the reason for that is also clear. Union workers are committed workers, productive workers, efficient workers, skilled workers. They are well trained and well prepared to get the big jobs done and to do them right. Not to mention on time and on budget. And over the past year, I have visited, as I have for many years in my career, union job sites and worker training centers across our nation. Last month, for example, I visited a training facility in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there I spoke with job seekers, apprentices, union members, workers who spent hundreds of hours learning to remove and replace lead pipes and service lines in a city that is sadly replete with them. And the officials there, they told me, by the time these union workers finish their training, they are the best in the business. And so that's why, one of the reasons why we are here today. The President and I made a promise that our administration will do everything we can to build a better future for all, that we will build stronger communities, a more skilled and productive workforce, and a more prosperous nation. As he will soon outline, we take another important step forward today to fulfill that promise. And so now it is my honor to welcome Crenita Jordan, an apprentice here at Iron Workers Local 5, and a living example, a role model of what is possible when we invest in our workers. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. First, I want to say good evening, everybody. My name is Cranita Jordan, and I'm proud to be a fourth-year union apprentice at Local 5 Ironworkers. I'm a first-generation ironworker in my family. My mother is a nurse at the University of Maryland Capital Regional Medical Center here in Largo, Maryland. And my father is a union boiler maker. When I started construction, my employer didn't take me seriously because I was a young woman and stuck me in a truck all day. Luckily, an ironworker saw me looking miserable and recommended I apply to this apprenticeship. I did. And before I knew it, I was at the National Ironworker Pre-Apprenticeship Program for Women in California. Our labor and management partnership paid the travel, accommodations, food costs for all women across the country to help jumpstart our career in the trades. After 3 years of intensive training, I came home and started my apprenticeship in Local 5. Construction is a career that allows you to self-express. You don't have to hold back your personality. And I love the honest, respectful relationship I have with my crew. I also love the feeling of the achievements. I can walk to the new terminal at Ronald Reagan National Airport and say, I built it. I can point to the shimmering glass windows at DC Wharf and say, I put those in. Private sector developers and contractors use project labor agreements because they want their projects built right by skilled workers and apprentices just like me. That's the goal of the executive order that the president will sign here today, to make sure the federal construction projects are completed safely, on time, and under budget. I know companies like Google, Microsoft, Toyota, and others use PLAs for their construction projects. And now the federal government would do the same. Project labor agreement also have a great record for diversity, helping bring in people like me who've been historically pushed out from the construction industry. This order will help our countries build back better with opportunities for all Americans of every race and gender. I can't wait to graduate from my apprenticeship this summer and to get to work on the big projects covered by this executive order. But first, it's my honor to introduce the man who's going to sign it. He's a lifelong friend of workers like me who believe our best days are still ahead of us. He signed a bipartisan infrastructure law to help to make this happen. He wants to see women and minorities working on the front lines of these projects and not stuck watching the actions from inside the truck. With that, it's my privilege to introduce you, President Joe Biden.
That's progress. You know, folks, thank you. Thank you. Before I begin my somewhat formal remarks, walking in here today and seeing you guys sitting on that beam, first local ever to endorse me. It was a guy named Tommy Schrank in Ellesmere, Delaware, local iron workers. And asked me to come out to a site. They took me up on an elevator outside. And there's four of them, crazy sons of guns like y'all, sitting having their lunch on a beam, I guess about 12 stories above the ground. You're nuts. Thank God you are. I tell you what, you got to not only have some brains, but you got to be coordinated to be an iron worker, man. And I was told that I said, you know, they've done a cutout of number 46, the vice the presidency. I'm the 46th president. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can take it home. That's solid steel, man. And you guys did that on your time. Well, thank you very much. I'm not going to try to take it home. But look, folks, it really is it's an honor to be here, for real. And I want to thank your soon-to-be new full-blown, full-bore iron worker. Marty's already trying to get her to Boston, but that's another thing I got to warn you about. But, folks, look, it's an honor to be here with Vice President Harris and with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, a proud member and former president of Labor's Local Union 223 up in Boston, and our Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm. Got a few things we're going to build, and I want to thank the Maryland delegation, Ben Cardin, who's been a friend for a long time, and Chris Van Hollen, who's a really close friend, and outstanding Congressman Anthony Brown, and other elected officials that are here. Look, all of whom fight for working people in Maryland and every other state, because if it happens here, it happens around the world, happens around the country. It's been an honor to be with the iron workers of Local 5, and we talk about building a future that's made in America. We're talking about you. And this time we're going to get it really correct. You know, one of the press persons said to me, and I can't remember who, about 3 months ago, that I don't know if it's factual or not, but he said, you've used the word union as president more than any other president in American history. Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you, I'm not sure that's true, but I tell you what, I promised you you'd have a union president, and I am, because you're the best. Now, we talk about whether, you know, Wall Street built America. They're good folks on Wall Street. They're not bad folks. They're good people all over the country. I'll tell you who built America, the middle class. And the people who built the middle class are organized labor, unions. That's not hyperbole. That's a fact. That's a straight fact. And the executive order I'm going to sign today is going to help ensure that we build a better America, we build it right, and we build it on time, and we build it cheaper than it would have been otherwise. You know, the executive order is making sure that federal construction projects get completed on time and under budget, saving taxpayers money, clearing construction zones quickly, and ensuring that everything the federal government signs to contract to build is built to last. You guys really genuinely are the best in the world. That's not hyperbole. It's a fact. To do that, we're using a tool that iron workers here know very well, called project labor agreements. I know you all know it, but folks who may be watching this may not fully understand it. Simply put, these agreements that contractors, subcontractors, and unions put in place before a construction site gets underway, before the construction begins. They ensure that major projects are handled by well-trained, well-prepared, highly skilled workers. And they ward off problems. They resolve disputes ahead of time, ensuring safer work sites, avoiding disruptions and work stoppages, that can cause expensive delays down the line. And that makes a big difference for the American taxpayer. Because when big construction projects are completed efficiently and with the highest degree of professionalism, it's good for the American taxpayer. That's not hyperbole. That's a fact. We don't talk about it, though. We don't talk about how y'all save the American taxpayers' money. It's good for families who live in those communities all across the country, with federal construction projects are being built as I speak. And it means that modernization of your local waterways will get done sooner, won't cost twice as much as expected. And when the next storm comes, the power will more likely stay on and homes and businesses will be better protected from flooding. It means new air traffic control towers at the local airports will be up and running more quickly, so flights are safer at the airports and more efficient. It means new housing will be built on our military bases will be of the highest quality, which these service members deserve. And will hold up better and make life easier for our military families. The executive order I'm going to sign will help defuse problems before they arise. They're going to improve coordination between contractors, subcontractors, and workers on the job site. It's going to help guarantee a consistent supply of high-quality, highly trained workers. You know, what people don't understand if they're not — don't know the industry is, you know, it's like you going to college, kid, 4 years. 4 years of busting your neck learning a trade. This isn't something you walk up and show up a day and you raise your hand, I need a job. You work like the devil for it. Fortunately, you get paid while you're doing it. You're able to do it. But it is an education, full-blown education you're getting in your trade. Well, you have a voice in the worksite, full commitment to getting the job done. And it's going to raise the bar on quality for some of those vital projects we're going to be building. And we're going to make sure that federal construction projects are staffed with good-paying union jobs. One of you actually came up to me today and said, Joe, you said you're going to do that, and you're doing it. Well, when President Obama asked me to run the Recovery Act, I made sure every single job I could get was a union job, prevailing wage. Because I've noticed when folks are getting paid a decent wage, everybody in the community does better. Everything looks better. They're jobs you can raise a family on. Or as my dad would say, they're jobs you can put your head in the pillow at night and just have a little breathing room, a little security, a little breathing room. Jobs that can't be outsourced. That's good for nearly 200,000 workers on federal construction contracts right now. It's good for everybody. I don't want to get going because I have to keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to — what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what — I know what you're doing. But let me close with this. A week ago, I went to Pittsburgh to tour a former steel mill. It's now a cutting-edge manufacturing research and development hub. Right before I left for the trip, I got word that a bridge collapsed. You saw it on television. It looked as bad in person as it did at the time. The bridge had been rated in poor condition, like, I might add, over 3,000 bridges in Pennsylvania, 45,000 across the nation. It had been rated that way for the last 10 years. When I got there, folks told me something close to a miracle had occurred. Because of a snowstorm that morning, school openings were late, and commutes were delayed. So when that bridge collapsed, and it was well over 100 feet off the two, almost, I don't know the exact, but probably from down to the creek where it went over and the ravine, probably a couple hundred feet. When it collapsed, instead of a bus with a couple people on it being packed with school buses full of children, the people on their way to work and the bridge that is one of the busiest bridges. You know, there are more bridges in Pittsburgh than any other city in the world, the Three Rivers. The bridge was empty, relatively empty. Fortunately, no one was killed. But for a snowstorm, just imagine the challenges we face and the opportunities to build a better America. and extend far beyond roads and bridges now that we can know we have to do. We passed that infrastructure bill. But it's not just that. Across the country right now, there are countless buildings, ports, airports, power stations, and other federal construction projects that need to be modernized and built for the future. We can't count on miracles like happened out in Pittsburgh, prevent tragedies that are waiting in plain sight. But we can count on what America's always counted on, the American worker, the hardest working, best trained workers in the world. American workers who've given just half a chance have never, ever, 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 ever let their country down and gotten the job done. And that's what this day is all about, in my view. Getting the job done for the American taxpayers. Getting the job done right the first time. You know, folks, there's a law that's existed for a long time, but there's too many exceptions like this one had. And that is that Buy American. As President of the United States, I award contracts, and I'm now making it the case, and we're working. It's one of the reasons those jobs are up, is unless the product I'm purchasing for the American people was made in America and all of its component parts were made in America, we ain't buying it. We're just simply not buying it. And what's going to happen here, not a joke, it's a fact, it's not a violation of any international laws either. What we're talking about here, with three exceptions I won't bore you with, and they're highly unusual, with three exceptions, every single project that we're talking about that's paid for with federal dollars and it's a federal project, it's going to be union jobs, every single one of them. Last time we tried it, there were so many exceptions, I think only 19, 20 jobs. There are going to be thousands, thousands of people put to work. Not a joke. I mean, this is serious. And guess what? The American public is going to be safer, and it's going to be cheaper. Cheaper paying the right wage and the right trained people to begin with, get the job done right and on time. So I'm about to walk over and sign an executive order that's going to make that happen. And we're going to start once that order is signed. Just remember, it ain't labor, it's unions. Thank you. Now, usually you have a pen to give out to everybody around you. We didn't have enough pens to bring with us. So I'm going to sign this order, but you're all going to get one of the signing pens, starting with the Maryland delegation. There you go. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right.